This is the Amp Hour Podcast, released September 1st, 2019, episode 456.2, crossover camp with Hackaday and Unnamed Reverse Engineering Podcast.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Chris Gamble of Contextual Electronics.
And I'm Alvaro from the Unnamed Reverse Engineering Podcast.
I'm Mike Stish of the Hackaday Podcast.
And I'm Elliot Williams, Chief Audio Engineer of the Hackaday Podcast.
And has no input on this audio podcast, so if it sucks,
it's all on Gamble.
It's not his fault, yeah.
I didn't edit this either.
Yeah. We all wanna pass the buck. So we're doing a crossover podcast for the first time. We've talked about the Hackaday Podcast. We've had Alvaro and Jen on before.
Yes.
Welcome back, guys. We're at Chaos Communication Camp, and it's the last day.
It's not Chaos Computer Camp, is it?
Is it?
No, it's Chaos Communication Camp. And this is it, folks. We are embodying Chaos Communication Camp right now.
We
have
different
streams. We're all getting together. We're making a podcast, and we're sending it out to you.
And at least one of them speaks German here. That's the thing. Yeah.
Willkommen in Deutschland.
All right, live translations is all that Elliot's going to do for the rest of the show. Thank you for being here.
Dankeschön.
Yeah. Woo, Alvaro.
So we're like on the last day. People are packing out already.
Some people.
Yeah, that's true. And it's weird. It's like there's some people who showed up like a week before, right?
Yeah, the people who set up have been here, some even for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And so you've been before, Elliot?
I've been twice before, actually.
Twice before, okay. Mike, Alvaro, you haven't been before?
Nope, first time.
Yeah. Kind of the U.S. invasion here.
I'm cheating. I live in Germany.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a stone's throw away.
So, Ellie, how does it compare to past years and your experience?
Very similar. I mean, this is the camp experience.
Okay.
You have had it. It's a million people, 5,000 people all hanging
officially out. Officially 5,000. I'm sure it's more.
Yeah, exactly. Hanging out, having fun, showing off what they do, getting together. Mm-hmm. That's just such a great crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, too. It does feel like it's like a family reunion of sorts, in a weird way, where a lot of people, like Jeff Kaiser, who we're camping with too, he was like, yeah, I see people that I saw 8 years ago, and they don't look that different, but I don't really know them, but I feel like I know them.
You know? Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and then there's a crossover with DEF CON, Tor Camp, like you see people, it's like, I've met you somewhere.
Right, some party, something.
Yeah.
This was started as like the summer vacation that you as a nerd wish you could have with all your like geek friends, right? And it really has that vibe. It's not a con, it's just all the people who you would like from cons to be in one place, chilling out in
it's
the sun.
Con of cons.
Yeah.
But also it seems like people are just sitting around waiting for people they don't know to come up and be like, hey, what's going on? We stopped by the Vatican hacked embassy yesterday.
What's that?
It's within the Italian embassy camp of CCC camp. There's a smaller part called the Vatican camp.
Yeah,
in the middle.
And he's sitting there.
Break away from the main Italian camp.
Right. So. He's sitting there at a little, like, coffee-sized folding table and with two bottles of grappa and a bunch of upturned shot glasses and a sign that says, free grappa if you tell us an interesting fact. And then there's, like, three little stools just waiting for him.
Wow. Yeah, and maybe we can explain, too, so, like, people who are listening might not know what this place is. So, like, what is kind of the layout of the camp that you guys saw as well? Like, how does it work? Like, what's the organizational structure?
We're at an old, no longer functioning brick factory that's now a park, right?
Right.
And we have street names after Mario Kart tracks, I think.
Yeah, Moo Moo Farm I saw.
Well, Moo Moo Farm and Koopa Raceway or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's our corner. And so, yeah, you have a grid of like, avenues and then people just camping out in between these areas. Some big, like, circus-like tents for the actual... the talks. And then there's, within the big camp, there's a lot smaller camps within the camps. So you have Tor Camp, or Milliways. You have, like, the Swiss camp. You have the Nordic camps. Mm-hmm. And then within all these camps, there's smaller villages. So you'll have Tor Camp inside of Milliways. You have the Finnish camp inside of the Nordic contingent. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's just a start.
Yeah.
I was really ready for something different, too, because I thought there'd be, like, a central area and then, like, paths you walk 10 minutes and get to another area that people are camping in. Oh. But it's not like that at all. It's no, like
it's pretty packed.
Everyone, good luck, find a spot to put your tent on top of someone else's tent.
Right.
And hopefully not on top of railroad tracks.
Right, Alvaro and I almost did that.
Well, no, we did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's true.
Mitch told us, you can set up between the tracks, you know, just make sure the train won't hit you. So we set up and the train wouldn't hit us. By, like, you know, not that far, like 30 centimeters or something. But, you know, we figured, oh, we're good. And then some other person came up and told us.
People who enjoy rules were telling us about the rules.
Yeah. And we're like, whatever, okay. But then somebody else came up and took a different angle. It's like, you know, these derail fairly often.
Yeah, that's actually what convinced us.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, that could mess us up.
And ruin our summer camp.
And these are the trains that are static here. So it's like a kind of a, I don't want to call it an amusement park, but they'll do a little tour and you get on the brick trains and ride around. And then at night or later in the camp, you see all these homemade trains people make. Yeah. And that's what you want to be scared of. And they're super cool. Like one of them had a hammock on top and you're just riding a hammock down the track. Or later on, they put a big water tank on one and we're spraying water around camp.
Yeah. I missed that.
This was very dusty.
Because it's so dusty, yeah.
Yeah,
look at my arms. Oof.
Every possible opportunity to do anything is used here. Like there's this old track work here. And so what do they do? Hackers are going to make trains. Right.
In
the kids zone, they're putting trains together that are like a 2x4 spanned across the thing with little gummy wheels and just, you know, tiny DC motors on them. It's a train that's, you know, fits on a pizza box or something rolling down the street. And it's one of the events in the kids zone.
Oh, that's great. Actually an interesting thing about this camp too, is it's very kid friendly.
Yeah, it's super kid friendly.
Like there's a whole, like, so I knew someone who came with their kids too, and they're like, yeah, my kids were just able to stay over there and hang out and
take care of themselves.
It's a family vacation for nerds.
Yeah.
And all your best nerd friends.
Yep.
Well, and for people that are where are my kids, they have this whole phone network, both GSM, like cellular, and then the duct phones, which is kind of your home phones, 900 megahertz. You just get your SIM card for €3 or register your duct phone, and you can hand your kids their phone and they have an extension. And if they want to call you, they dial four numbers, or if you want to figure out where they are, like, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
One of the coolest kids space projects last time, 4 years ago, was to build a pizza oven. They built a stone pizza oven out of bricks, and then they just lots of dirty mud.
Yeah.
Basically, the kids were like,
because it's super wet.
You should have seen the kids. They were like, blah, 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 you know, all muddy building this pizza oven, and it's still there. And
really?
So this year they didn't have to build the pizza oven, and they're like, what are we going to do now? We have to think up another event.
Oh, that's super great.
That's not where they were baking the pizzas, was it?
The pizzas in the corner by the lake, in the kid zone.
Oh, I did see that. Oven,
in a pizza oven that kids had made 4 years ago.
That's super cool.
Crazy.
There was also some like food trucks. That's something I did not expect.
Yeah.
Like I thought.
Yeah, we could have shown up without like any food, really.
Yeah. And we almost did, right? But at least Chris and I did a food pool with the Belgian Embassy.
All right.
Which is where the Hardware Hacking Village was.
The Hardware Hacking Village, so we put in some cash, and they also help out cooking or cleaning, and then we get all sorts of food. But, you know, Tour Camp does it. But you could also just buy food, and it's not that expensive. I was expecting Carnival prices.
Yeah, or like music festival prices, where it's like $15 for a sandwich.
No.
Yeah, you can get a super delicious coffee for €2.
Yeah.
This is Berlin food prices. A plate of food costs $5.
Yeah. Mm, Berlin.
Even the beer was cheap. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
When it wasn't free. Like, half the time, you'd just go up to someone, oh, have a beer.
Last night, we were in the Hardware Hacking Village, and right across from it was this Belgian...
The French fries?
Operations Center.
The
Belgian... Fritz Operations Center. And they were just making fries after fries after fries, and they were so delicious. And, like, late at night, we were all just sitting there on the tracks.
Yeah, it's like after
Going through the line, Belgian fries. It was awesome.
That's great. So, did you guys go to any talks?
Yes. Yours?
Not mine. Other than mine.
No.
People were very nice to support me, but no.
I went to one talk. It was stiflingly hot in that Curie tent.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
But I saw Adam Harris, I believe is his name, do the Megapixels face recognition talk, which was really good. And I'm not sure if it... I wrote an article about it. I'm not sure if it's going to be a video or not, because I keep looking for it. and it's not there.
Yeah, but they streamed them for sure.
Okay, well, but here's the thing is I took a picture of him on stage and went up afterward to ask him, like, hey, I took this picture of you on stage. Can I use it? And he said, no.
Oh.
And he said, actually, you can use it if you make it so the interocular distance is less than 40 pixels, so it can't be used for facial recognition.
Facial recognition talk, folks.
Yeah. I put a Jolly Rancher over his head on the image. But so I wonder if he said they couldn't stream it.
That's quite possible.
But I'm hoping. It's,
maybe audio only?
You should definitely go and watch it because it's not really technical. All it is talking about where the data sets that most organizations are using to train are coming from, and they're coming from scary places
like CCTV type things or what?
No, the big one is Microsoft scraped off of basically the entire internet using Bing and has a 10 million person face set, and they actually associated names with a lot of the faces.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. So this research project is going to be releasing a way for you to go search and see if your name is associated with a face in the set.
Yeah.
But then they looked at who's been downloading those sets, the major sets, and it's like, you know, security agency, you know, three-letter agencies in multiple countries, including all the ones that have come to mind right now.
Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Public data set?
There were five of these public data sets they looked at, yeah.
Oh, shit.
A lot of people make a big deal about, you know, artificial intelligence is going to destroy democracy, et cetera, et cetera. It's the data. Mm-hmm. It's not the AI. AI is just the tool that you use to mangle the data.
More computer-y,
this
right?
is just, it's just more statistics, right?
Yeah.
But the real problem is the data collection. And that's something that I think we in the States haven't figured out yet. And we in Europe are just figuring out with like the GDPR and things like that.
Privacy laws in general, yeah. Yeah, and I have noticed that. Like, I think that people I've met from Germany and around Europe have just been more cognizant in general.
Yeah.
It's smart. I mean, it's...
Germany has a high-level cabinet official whose job it is to protect people's privacy.
Wow.
And so there's actually an official voice in government here who says, yeah, it's going to be tricky for privacy issues if police have body cams.
Ah.
Or they're going to have to ask or inform when they use them, or this, that, and the other. Right. And you can't point webcams at public streets.
Huh.
Things like that. They forced an opt-out on Google Maps when they were doing
the
Street View drive-bys.
Right, because you do a map in Germany, and there's like big blocks of like blurry, like, and then you
go look at my old apartment. It's just this green blur.
Yeah, but then you can find older images of it. It's like, oh, it's just an apartment. You think it's something nefarious, but it's just...
Someone in our block who didn't want it to be on there said no, and it wasn't even us.
Right.
But they had the option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
Yeah, so. I guess that's the thing that I've kind of... So we come to these camps. Obviously, the four of us are all very hardware interested, but these are security camps too, which is like interesting. Like, there's not really a hardware camp. Obviously, we're like an enclave within a broader thing. No, we're not starting one, Mike. I saw that look on your face. It's in Madison, Wisconsin, at Mike's house. I mean, so what is that interplay for you guys? I mean, Alvaro, I guess you talk to a lot of people that are kind of more on the hackery side.
Yeah, I mean, there's I did see a lot more hardware, but just people working in their camps, hacking on stuff. But the hardware is mostly, let's take this apart and figure out how it works, or just modify it. They had a whole take it apart zone.
Oh yeah.
Where they had all these old routers and just screwdrivers, soldering irons, stuff like that, and then I think it was mostly aimed for kids, but I've seen that at other conferences for adults too. And you just go and take electronics apart and scavenge parts. There's a whole jewelry making with electronic scraps, which was pretty awesome.
That's cool.
This is definitely, you see a lot, everyone has a laptop, probably except me. I was the only person without a laptop. But these huge tents filled with lots of extension cords and laptops, and people are working on projects, recompiling the Linux kernel to get GNU radio to work. That happened a few times yesterday. So there's definitely a lot of the software kind of thing.
Are you guys seeing hardware stuff as you walked around?
Yeah.
I mean, like building hardware or?
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But everything's,
go ahead.
Everything's so big here, you see everything.
Yeah.
Right? And because we're hardware attuned,
we see
all the hardware stuff. But if you get into the wrong corner, it's like, there's social activism. You get into another corner, it's people doing modular synthesizers. You get into another corner, it's
nudists.
This.
It's nudists.
It's nudists. Yeah, exactly.
I saw nudists here. Now that you mention it.
Don't right. mention Kinky Geeks.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hit me, bite me, make me install Vista is yeah. their motto this year.
It was the 18 plus zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Make me install Vista.
Yeah, no, that's their banner.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. No, there's... I mean, the point is it's us people, and we all have various interests. And some yeah. people are super into security and hardware and,
yeah.
you know, making mugs.
Really?
What the heck? Yeah, there was an entire mug factory.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
DIY mug factory. Yeah, there's... You can't know everything.
Yeah.
Nobody...
I guess the reasons to come back, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you could spend months here and not see everything.
Yeah.
The ham folks had a... did you see the crazy antenna?
I talked yeah. to them when... I met someone on the walk, but...
They had a few. They had one up on... There's a hill kind of in the middle.
That's Satnoggs, I found out.
Is it Satnoggs yeah. who won the first Hackaday Prize?
Yeah, 2014 Hackaday Prize winner, yeah. grand prize winner, Satnoggs.
Yeah.
So they had that, but they also, by past the kids zone, they had like it was huge, super tall antenna that's on a trailer and then it extends up. I don't know what it was for, but...
It looks like, yeah, that looks like short or long wave, short
wave. It was pretty intense, yeah.
Short wave.
And yeah, other camps I saw them building. There's so many, not trains, but just battery powered vehicles
things,
around
yeah,
camp.
Yeah, yeah,
so what's the deal with that? Did somebody bring like an entire truckload of those hoverboard
yeah.
things that you ride on? Because it looks like all
some
of the
were made before they got here, I think.
Okay.
A lot. Yeah.
Because a lot of the train cars that are driving around are using the hub motors from
that's
those
right.
hoverboards.
Yeah. Right. And they
had
made like
them.
A metal
plate.
Grommet or plate. Yeah. yeah. That's like inside the hoverboard wheel. And it just, yeah. I think the distance works out really well.
Yeah. Well, and then the metal plate, it kind of scrapes along the rail and like a metal on metal sound and goes right in front of my tent all night long.
Oh, yeah. Same thing.
Earplugs.
Yeah. I did wear earplugs and a blinder the whole time, but it gets so hot by 9 a.m.
So,
you have to wake up.
I slept so well. I've been so exhausted the whole time. But the, yeah, the I think there's somebody here who redid the firmware for the hoverboards. So you could do more with it. And maybe that's what they're using. Because, yeah, they had a whole train building area, and it's a tent with fume exhausts, because
yeah.
then they have power tools.
They're like welding or something?
I don't know if they were welding, but they had saws and...
Well, they had diesel powered. They had a couple of diesel powered.
Oh, the old diesels, yeah.
Well...
Well, the trains, but we also have generators all around camp because
yeah,
there's
true.
Not enough power
oh, right.
for all the nerds.
yeah, and I guess that's a good point, too. So we should also talk about that. There's lots of pictures of it, obviously, but this place just lights up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
it's
my
just,
God.
And it's not just blinky. It's
that's
also,
unreal. No,
it's also like DMX-style lighting with, like, it you know, shining lights up in the sky. A little bit kind of crazy, but, like, it looks amazing.
Every forest has a, like, rainbow uplight
yeah,
in it,
right.
or a disco ball
right.
like it's awesome
yeah
no just the central hill at night has these huge spotlights that I don't know how many kilometers high they go
yeah.
like it's just
yeah that was
it's
awesome
good there's no,
last
no
night.
Planes flying overhead right?
I know I was wondering they probably just tell planes to stay away at night from here
yeah.
like you could set up a no fly zone just because you get blinded
yeah
we are in the middle of nowhere
that's true
I mean we're close enough to Berlin right
yeah
for a plane it's
yeah, true.
A couple minutes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
then a bunch of projection mapping. So they've got the,
oh, the
rocket going up the brick tower.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But then I also walked by a tent that had like a gable end on it, and somebody was projection mapping onto the gable end, and then each panel of that side of the tent had different stuff going on.
Cool.
And I think it's one of those things where you're like, oh, they're projecting on a tent, but when you stop and look at it, like a lot of thought went into this. Like someone planned for this.
Yeah.
Did you see the creepy one where they had the, on the side of a brick building, they were projecting like a scary window thing and something coming out of the window. I only saw it the first
cool.
night, but it looked, if you're just walking by, that looked like, oh, whoa, that's not real. Okay, but also next to our tent, do you see the POV display? That's just a light pole.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That
yeah.
was Matt from Blinken Labs?
Oh, really? Because I want to do that in more places where people don't expect it.
Yeah,
so,
explain what it is first. Yeah,
yeah there's like a pole with a string of LEDs and at first glance, you just see a few colors just flashing by. But if you turn your head or look side to side, you have the POV effect and you actually see something in midair. So you'll see a big skull or a rocket or some text just walking by. And if you're looking straight at it, you won't see it, but just when you turn. So a lot of people would be walking by and then
yeah.
which has the side effect that everybody is standing around that corner shaking their head back and forth like a moron.
If cameras, pointing cameras at people wasn't such a big idea, you could get a time lapse of people just
freaking out, doing the dance.
No, I saw some kids holding their ears and just turning their head extremely fast back and forth for a few minutes, and it's just like, okay, if I didn't know they were looking at, what did they take?
Well, what else have we seen here? I mean,
post office, working post.
Yeah, that's true. I was just delivering mail before this, actually.
Yeah, someone talked about post office.
Yeah, it's.
Well, you can send someone a postcard from outside. You can so you could actually write into from the internet. You could send a message to the post office. They'll print it out, stick it to a postcard, and then it'll get delivered to someone's tent. We saw Alvaro sent some spam. I heard there was a bunch of other spam that was sent.
Yeah, I sent some. Well, I put a request on Twitter and Instagram. I said, anyone who wants a postcard from Chaos Camp, just shoot me a DM with the address and I'll send them. So I had a few. And then I sent some non-requested ones and made sure to include some advertising for the Unnamed Reverse Engineering podcast on these postcards. But I thought the fun part was that, you could put somebody's address as in, Hardware Hacking Village or Milliways Camp or corner of Moo Moo Farm with Bowser's Castle.
Yeah. And I had one that was like
yellow tent.
Northeast tent. Corner, orange tent, and Netherland Village or something like that.
So, and there's actually post boxes around camp, and there's a main post office, and you put the mail in, or you do it online, and they have a tracking system too. Like, they'll know when you deliver, you scan a QR code. But then they just ask for volunteers. Like Chris is saying, I deliver some mail.
Yeah.
And you go around asking, do you know who this person is? Do you know who this person is?
Which is a great way to meet people.
Right? Yes.
Right.
I wish I delivered more mail earlier on.
Yeah, same.
Facilities in general are excellent too. So you guys were saying that you brought food, and then the problem is if, 2,000 people of the 5,000 are cooking, you need to clean that stuff. Are you going to go down to the lake and do it? Where are you going to do it? They set up an industrial dish sanitizer that they have volunteers staffing.
There's several of them.
And then right next to that, there's a water dispensary that you can have your still water or your bubbly water.
I mean, it's Germany.
It's Europe,
on the tap, served. That's the right way to do
but
it.
Got some right here, guys.
It was all staffed by volunteers. And yesterday, the dishwashing station was closed, and some folks walked up and were trying to get dishes washed, and they're like, sorry, we don't have enough staff. And they're like, okay, just show us how to do it. And they called one of the people who trained them, and then they were there for a while. Because
that's the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's amazing how much stuff gets done here by just walking by and being helpful.
Yeah, and it's contagious too, because like you see people doing this, or you get sucked into post, right? You see mail going around, or you get delivered one, and then you're like, oh, I'll go figure this out. And they're like, hey, help us deliver.
Yeah.
Or
it's kind of like missions and like a role-playing game kind of thing. You're like you're on a quest.
Yeah.
We were talking about it yesterday too. It was like, why do I like this so much? Like, it's trains and mail and like a cell phone. Like
phones.
I have a tiny cell phone with a GSM card in it. It's like nothing fancy at all. And I was like, this is like playing adult as a kid. You know?
Yeah.
And Alvaro was saying there used to be a theme park where you could do that
in Miami, Wanadoo City, which was a role-playing game for kids where you like work at a restaurant or deliver pizza or
and it's just like that. There's something weird and fun and kind of charming about that. I don't know why, but
we've had many strange experiences. Like a couple of days ago we saw people, there was a dance lesson, so there's all sorts of cool workshops. I mean, they had kimchi making stuff or cider tastings, all these things, but one of them was dancing, and there was people dancing, and we'll see. Just called me and says, Alvaro, I need a bunch of paper and some Sharpies as soon as you can. And we're over by the boats. And then I show up and they grab this piece of paper and they make all these different pictures and they start rating the dancing.
Nice.
With like a lightning bolt, a heart, a smiley face. And then when the dance was over, somebody noticed, and then all the people dancing turn around and start laughing, and it's just like, we just made somebody's day just a little bit better.
Yeah, it's like making like quirky things happen.
It's just fun.
Quirky things. There's the field telephone network. Did you guys get to play with that?
Like the switch? Mm-hmm.
There are all these like World War II era
crank-up
phones, and they're all run out. There's wire strung all over this place, and there's a guy with a pushy switchboard, like an old school switchboard. So you pick it up and you're like, you crank it and then you pick it up and you have to press the button to talk, and then he's like, hello, phone ops, and you're like, yeah, can you connect me to something? And the cool thing is you can reach any other of the field phones with these patch cables he's got, but it's also got another one that goes into the DECT phone network, yeah, which is also another crazy,
which goes to the cell phone network,
which goes to the phone cell phone network, so you can call out of these silly field phones to actual phones. It's
I didn't see how the DECT was working, but I know that the GSM stuff's running like OsmoCom on like some commercial hardware. Yeah.
They also had 3G and 4G experimental mode, but I've been on 2G this whole time.
Yeah, all of that stuff is running open source. It's all OsmoCom project.
Oh, it is for DECT too?
Yeah, yeah.
And DECT is what, like 900 megahertz?
Yeah, that's just what your, I think, well, 800, 900.
Yeah, there's different bands in Europe and blah, blah.
Okay.
Where's Mike Osmond when you need him?
Over there.
Yeah, well, they were. literally, right? they were reverse engineering the DECT phones, and I don't know if he talked about this yesterday, but they found a DECT IoT plug.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like an IoT.
It's an on-off switch.
Like an outlet.
Plug. It's a smart plug, but it's connected. It runs
it's
on the
through
DECT network.
Huh.
And it had a microphone.
So what, you can call an outlet then?
No, you can control it. Like, so DECT is not just for voice, which is news to me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. There's some home routers and stuff here that use it as just a generic information path, and some of them are trying to do home automation over DECT, basically.
Wow. And it's an older standard? I don't know anything about it, really. So.
No, it's pretty current, apparently. So I guess it's been around for a while, but it's very up to date.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of kind of businesses, hospitals use it. Because, I did not know that I could take my house phone. I don't have a house phone, but if I did, a house phone, a cordless house phone, just bring it here, and it works like a cellular network.
That's what I got in my pocket.
Yeah.
I just picked up our house phone.
And somehow it works here. I don't understand.
You have to tell them the numbers, and they enroll you, and you do this crazy dance. But then...
But it's not a crazy dance. It was super simple. Huh. You go on the wiki and get an account, and then you pick out your number, and then you turn your phone on, and it says you're on the DECT network, dial this number to associate with your account.
3904.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Dial in a password and you're good to go. And it's funny, I mean, it's even weirder for us because this is my normal phone at home.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's got the number for my favorite pizza restaurant. It's got my wife's number.
You can dial out German numbers here.
Yeah, yeah. It's got all my numbers in it. And then it's also got camp numbers in it now. It's crazy.
That's really weird. Yeah. Hmm. Well, what else did you guys write? So, Mike, Elliot, you're both the Hackaday writers, of course. What else did you guys write about when you're here?
What did you write about, Elliot?
Nada.
That was a little
vacation,
stank on it.
Right?
He's like, yeah.
That was funny, Mike.
Yes.
What did you write about, man?
What did I write about? I wrote about that talk. I
pushed out the newsletter. What did I do?
Oh, yeah, we did the newsletter.
We did a podcast.
Yeah,
last
week's podcast. Yeah. No, I did write about something else. The bartender robot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was that? Abbabot? Adubot?
I did not see this.
Autobot. Yeah. Oh, I did a video. It's the fifth rev of this thing, and they started it back in 2012 with, like, gravity-fed bottles that just had
pushing a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's to the point where it has a cup holder that can go left to right.
Oh, nice.
And the cup holder is attached with a strain gauge, so it goes over to an ice maker that you would normally just push a cup into. You push a cup into, and the strain gauge detects how many ice cubes have gone in there.
Wow.
And then it goes over, and they have 16 bottles of whatever, liquor or mixers or whatever, and it fills those up, and then it goes over to a portable battery-operated milk frother that they've hacked into the system that is on a vertical rail that lowers into the drink and then spins it all up.
Stirs it for you.
Oh, I see.
But on on the software side, they have it set up so that you register with the network, and so you put in your height and weight and age use RFID, and so it detects what you're drinking and how fast you're drinking it, and then estimates your blood alcohol level.
It's a health service.
It's definitely a health service, but just like, I know it's silly but you gotta have silly things to do, and it's actually a robot built at a high level.
Yeah, and it's also very accessible to, everybody likes a drink once in a while, and
it's a
way to get like anyone who might be, it's actually a good way. I've seen Barbot events where it draws people in, they're like, oh, technology, I didn't know much about technology, but it's like a weird, quirky way to bring people in.
But there's so many things. Like, this is one thing.
Here. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
No, but like all kinds, right? You have the Club Mate is a religion here.
Yeah.
Like, I had beer from Iceland yesterday because the Icelandic team is just like, hey, have one of our beers and some cheese, Norwegian cheese. and I was amazed by everyone in Europe that could drive brought all this stuff to share. Just to this is from my country. Have some grappa from Italy, mm-hmm. or have some. I went for the cheeses because I'm me.
But Alvaro's done many cheese projects. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but there were some pasta stations. You know, the waffle operation center.
Oh, we missed out on that. We tried.
I've walked by like 10 times and it's always been closed.
Yeah.
The food hacking area was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I missed all the workshops, but I walked by as they were happening. And yeah, there were things that I would like to learn happening. I guess I didn't expect to have cooking lessons, like serious cooking lessons, in the forest or like in a camp.
I walked by a self-defense class yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I did.
What?
Yeah, there was a guy teaching self-defense.
Yeah.
Hmm. Why not?
There's everything. It's really insane.
Is it that guy?
And you've been collecting...
He's doing Tai Chi.
Tai Chi. Oh, that's Tai Chi. Okay. Yeah.
You've been collecting ambient audio too, right?
I was hoping to get some of the sounds of camp recorded.
Oh, I really wanted to do that. I'm glad
see
you
how
did.
That goes, but there's just too many sounds.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. You did trains going by.
I got the trains. I got actually the oasis in the southern baths down there. Have you guys seen the shower?
Oh yeah, in the
south, there's a whole like wellness oasis spa thing.
Yeah. Built out of pallets with like sewn cushions on top of them and palm fronds.
And pools with waterfalls.
Do people swim in those pools?
No.
No, but you can get in kind of up to your calves.
Okay. Yeah, no, because I saw the waterfall stuff. I ran into those my first night walking around and I heard waterfall-y sounds and it turned out to be the nicest bathrooms I've seen in a camp.
Yeah, I was told I had to go down there because it's just the coolest place to relax. You know, you can stick your feet in the pool when it's super hot midday and you've got this relaxing waterfall sound and you can just chill out.
Yeah.
There's a pinball machine,
little area,
closet, cabinet, I don't know what. So I picked up some sounds from there because that's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's right outside the main bar where there's like techno going all the time.
Right, right. There's a lot of techno. Yeah.
I actually made Mike do this experience with me, walking in between the techno and the pinball machine noise and then back out because it makes this nice fade.
Huh.
This like natural crossfade between crazy pinball, bing, 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 and then crazy dooch, techno. Dooch. Dooch, dooch. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, speaking of techno, there's the little, not robot, but... Two speakers on wheels with some cylinder on it that says, please push me around. And generates electronic music based on GPS information. And we met the creator.
Yeah, that's the one. That was good.
Hey, so you hear this thing walking around, and then you see somebody pushing this cart, and it's always someone different. Somebody said they took it out to the lake. And
he said it always comes back, too.
Yeah.
Which is really crazy.
It's this very quirky, just like machine with a big battery. It just makes music, and people just take it around camp, and it makes music different places, and then someone else takes it. And
it's doing a generative algorithm that's based on its GPS location.
Mm-hmm. Not just GPS location. Apparently, the number of satellites in view.
Oh, crazy!
And it takes a few different things into account. That way, even if it's the same location, it'll still vary a little bit.
Oh, it's called World O Techno. The source is online. Check out his GitHub.
Yeah, okay.
World O Techno.
Where are you going to post that audio, you think?
I think I'll put it in our podcast next week.
Okay.
Oh, great. Nice.
But tell us, so the
if you guys
listeners
want some,
haven't heard much about your podcast. What is your podcast?
So the Hackaday podcast, it premieres every week at Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Premieres?
Yeah.
Of course it premieres.
I hear it first, but
we go through the past week of our favorite hacks, and we look at the great articles that were covered on Hackaday and some of the news stuff that's going on there, and then we try to include something interesting at the end. One of the things that I'd highly encourage people to do is go back to Elliot's soundscape of Munich.
Yeah, that was great.
Because it was like NPR level audio journalism, and I'm really hoping that it comes out of this.
Podcast.
Yeah, but I think you must have killed yourself making that one happen.
There's a little bit of work hidden behind the magic.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. So this is a podcast worth listening to at 1x speed. Is what we're saying.
That's right.
Parts of it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is weird hearing Chris at 1x speed.
I sound really slow.
I'm used to 2x. So when I heard do the intro the other day, I was just like, oh wow, that's very slow.
I would never get my chores done if I listened to them at 2x speed.
There's plenty of podcasts.
You'd have to rewind.
I ramped up to it. But yeah.
So what are some lessons we can take to SuperCon, which is coming up?
Bring a face mask for the dust.
We don't have any dust at SuperCon. We'll have to bring dust in.
That's all I can think about right now.
We'll have to bring some dust in.
Next time, I need to bring a mask.
We need a lake.
Yeah, right.
The ambient delight and joy makers here are fun. So that we just talked about pushing around that generative techno thing. The button that played La Cucaracha.
Oh, I hate that.
We hacked it last night. We changed the audio.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So that it
that thing was
quite
that
a
was,
bit quieter.
I was working on my talk for 4 hours, and it was so the La Cucaracha is actually the like a horn, like someone's car horn.
Yeah.
That was going for 4 hours outside while I was working my talk. I was like, finally, I was like, screw this. I left, and I moved over, and then it followed me.
That's
and then it followed
horrible.
Me again.
I ended up outside a tent at night, and I unplugged it. Because I didn't want to hear that.
I heard it that night,
and then,
too.
Like, as soon as I'm getting into my tent, and some person plugs it back in,
and so somebody labeled it. They put up a sign that says, it has a sign that says, push me.
Yeah.
And so it does this, and it annoys everyone in the immediate vicinity. And someone put up another sign on it that said, it's a trap, exclamation point. And then we finally hacked it for, what was that audio clip we put in?
The Mario dying sound. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And about half volume.
Nice.
Which is awesome. And so then at least people will be happy with it. And we turned our backs, and we must have walked 10 paces away, and it was gone.
Yeah.
That was the most mysterious thing I've ever seen. Yeah. I think its owner may be following it around.
I think it might have been, yeah. It was
like a social experiment,
like watching people get annoyed.
I have no idea, but it's crazy.
Was it just a WAV file on a SD card?
Yeah, it was a Raspberry Pi with a blue light-up button, and I just went into the home directory on the SD card, and there was a La Cucaracha.wav that I... and I just took the Mario one and renamed it La Cucaracha.wav.
That's awesome. Live hacking.
That was a Google AI kit. That's what that was.
Oh, really? Yeah, it was a Pi with a Pi hat or something, right? That's a Google AI kit?
Yeah, it's really...
and of a like cardboard box.
$10 though, yeah. It's
cool.
$10, yeah.
That's rad.
You remember last year's SuperCon, Elliot Phillips, who's a former head editor of Hackaday, brought a selfie cam that printed out on thermal receipt paper.
Oh, that's fun.
ASCII.
And
it was just like... So these ambient little devices, start your builds now. Because to me... walking around and just finding something. No one's around. You're like, whose is this, I wonder? You know, and you just...
No idea.
Like, what is this? Let's explore and figure it out.
Yeah.
It just brings me great happiness.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's like a device that does... Like, you ask, why does this exist? And it's like...
Because it can,
right? Yeah. Because it's supposed to. Like, you know, it's weird and wonky. I think that's a lot of the Burning Man crowd has kind of got that ethos as well, where they're like, well, no, it's just like you want to make people... have
happy.
Delight. It's just delight, you know, for no reason.
Yeah, there's this huge LED, like, the amount of LED just fixtures around was super cool. And then one of them, I saw some kids sitting in front of it with PlayStation controllers, and it was also a Tetris. So by the Milliways camp, there's this two big LED grids, and they set them up to play Tetris. So you just sit down in front of them and play Tetris, and during the day there's signs and who knows what else.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, though. Like, how do we encourage other people to bring something like that to... Like, SuperCon's kind of more of a, here's a bunch of stuff that's going to happen to you. And instead making... And people bring projects, of course, too. But it's like, how do you make it so it's like, bring something weird within reason. You know, don't bring a monster truck.
A hat that spews flames from...
Oh, that was a good one, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, the puffer.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was scary.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thanks, guys, for being on the show. All of our shows, I suppose. We're going to post this a couple places, but it's good to do a little joint podcast here.
Nice to hang out. This is Chaos Communication, and we have done it.
Yeah.
And for anyone interested on hacker camps, definitely, if you're in the U.S., check out Tor Camp next year.
Yep.
If you're in the U.K. or around Europe, EMF Camp, I've heard really good things about.
Yep.
And then in 4 years.
And three in 2 years is then Shaw. So next year's Shaw. Tour Camp and
that's right.
EMF. Then
they
Shaw.
Say they change the name every year, every 2 years or 4 years. Oh. Like it'll be called something else, but it used to be Shaw.
It's the Netherlands, basically.
The Netherlands, right?
Yeah. So, definitely a good reason to get out outside. And
I would encourage people to try
treat
these.
It like it's inside.
It's definitely, I wouldn't call it glamping, but the infrastructure was way more than I expected. Yeah. I was expecting porta potties everywhere. The only porta potties here have network equipment inside. There's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, we're trying to wrap up.
Where can people find your podcast if they're listening to this and they're listening?
Hagaday.com. We put out an article about it. Oh.
Mike's going singular. Slash.
Max
slash.
Hagaday.com/podcast is the tag for it. But we put out an article every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Great.
That has all the links because we end up talking about so many things.
Yeah,
you really got to check out the webpage too.
Yep.
It's also up on SoundCloud, Hagaday Podcast. You can't miss it.
Great. And we're the Unnamed Reverse Engineering Podcast. Just search for that or unnamedre.com.
Mm-hmm.
unnamed_show on Twitter.
Woohoo. And theamphour.com, or you can download it on your favorite podcast. You can only download it by rating it 5 stars. So that's the trick. So
Chris hacked all the podcast
apps.
Yeah,
we got to do that.
Yeah, you didn't know that. All right, thanks, guys. See you soon.